Oh, God is so good. And we finished up our series on having an attitude adjustment. And so I put up a new graphic. And I don't know if this will spill over to another night or two. It'll be a mini, mini series if it is one at all. But in transition here, I've been working on Lisa's computer. Her computer died. And I've been trying to diagnose it and get into its hard drive through BIOS and DOS and all of that, and it's a real tedious process. And I've penetrated the computer, and so I've been in a process of trying to extract some of the files that she needs. She's got almost 2 terabytes of files on there, and I have to go in and grab them, you know, and organize them all through DOS commands. Everything's typing a whole string of commands, and fortunately I know how to do it, but unfortunately it takes a little time. And so so the series that I'm thinking about moving into, I'd already done my preparation, but I didn't do some of the polish on it that I would like to do. And so I grabbed this message on perseverance, you know, and in Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 4, we see the answer to the parable of the sower and the seed. And Jesus explains, or the answer, or you could say the explanation. He speaks the parable, then he gives the answer to what the parable is. And in this group of scriptures, you have the principle of the kingdom of God, and we need to understand it. And Jesus will explain that and say that, and I'll reinforce that when we get to that. But let's just start with verse 4. And I'm going to read this out of the New American Standard Bible. It says, "When a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great." As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So here he tells this parable, and then he calls out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He's by faith, he's calling out and speaking to everyone who heard it that day and everyone who reads and hears it to this day, that he's pulling out of us in calling that, pulling out of us a desire for our spiritual ears to hear. And so that call from Jesus is crying out today. If you have ears to hear, if you're born again, you have spiritual ears. And if you have ears to hear, then let him hear. Because see, people who don't have ears to hear, in other words, aren't born again, don't have spiritual ears to tune in to the revelation knowledge of God, they won't hear, they won't comprehend. And so when he cries out to hear, then we need to just tune our spirit in and listen to the message that he has to say. So his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. Because when he says that, he says, this is something you need to hear. This is something you need to pay attention to. In other words, this is important. And so the disciples say, well, what does it mean? And he said, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. So the lost don't have an ability to see spiritual truth and to hear the spiritual truth. The parable is a method of God to be able to communicate revelation knowledge to us. And our spirit that's born again is able to receive that truth. Amen? And so that's as simple as it is. Now, that's just how to receive the word, but then he tells them what the meaning is because they asked. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So what is a seed? It's the Word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the Word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. So the seed is the Word, and then that first group of people, that seed that fell on the road, is people who hear the Word, and then and it gets to the heart, but then the devil comes and takes it away from them, and they won't believe it. So they've heard it, it gets to the point where it's ready to penetrate the soil of the heart, and the devil takes it away. Because he, you know, and we've been there in different times where God's calling us to do something, moving on us to do something by His Spirit, and then all of a sudden we back off of it. You know, it may be getting saved initially. How many of you had those encounters where you were like right there and you didn't do it? You know, my mom still tells a story of how there a period of time that she started getting excited about God, was going to the charismatic services at our Catholic church, going to Pentecostal services that were multi-denominational, where a number of ministers went in, including this father, this priest who would travel and was really well known. And so he connected. And we were over at Grace, I believe it was Grace, in St. Louis, when there was a real move of God. My mom took me and my sisters, and they went forward to be baptized in water, but I wouldn't do it because it wasn't there. And you know, and for me, it wasn't baptized get you saved, but I knew I was close. I knew God was speaking to me, but I knew I hadn't made a commitment to the Lord. There was just a knowing that I wasn't quite ready. And so why would I be doing that when I haven't made that commitment yet? And it wasn't long after that that, you know, maybe within a couple years or so, that I ended up making that commitment to the Lord. But that was just one of those times where there was a real move of God. People were getting saved. They went up, got saved, and then they got baptized right off the bat in that set of meetings. And I didn't go forward, and I didn't go up, obviously, from there then to get baptized. We can be that way, and that's what was going on here. And then he says in verse 13, the ones on the rocky, those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in the time of temptation fall away. So he says there's a group of people which is represented by rocky soil that have heard the word, accepted the word with joy, and you know, and they're excited about Jesus and everything, but it doesn't take long at all, and that draw from the world that's calling them back, you know, they turn from it and they go back away in temptation and fall away. And we all have that battle. It goes on for the rest of our life, but the most vulnerable time that we are in that place is when we're a baby Christian, when we're first saved. We have that joy, but we haven't been feeding on the Word. We haven't been spending a lot of time in fellowship. And so, and how many of you can, you know, I heard a little witness, some of you experienced that I came close, but I turned it down at first. How many of you can say that there's been time of temptation in your life where the devil, when you were a baby Christian, was trying to pull you back, and he used people that your friends, maybe some of your relatives, you know, say, "I liked you better when you did this, this, and this with me." You know, and they reject you, and they try to get you to come back and do it. Oh, it's okay. You know, God doesn't care about stuff like that. Temptation comes and people fall away. Then it says there's seed that fell among thorns, and says that's verse 14, and these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. So here it gets thrown out there, and it starts to grow up, but it grows amongst the thorn, and it's choked out. And what is it? It's riches. It's worries, it's the pleasures of life. In other words, the world's call. Not necessarily the temptation of sin, but the distraction of everything that the world has to offer. And we live in an age where there is more distraction than any time in the history of this planet. People 100 years ago would not even be able to comprehend taking a device like this and being connected to the internet and being able to stream radio, television shows, movies, to binge watch. You know, you can go back and pick your favorite television show and watch 20 seasons of whatever that show was, if it lasted 20 seasons. Every episode, every season, just on and on and on. And, you know, I can't remember if it was about binge watching. I think it was. There was a commercial where they're sitting on the couch and then all of a sudden they had beards and everything. And you know, one of their relatives passed away and, you know, and all of this stuff. That we have so much to distract us. And that's what that speaking of in verse 14. It can't grow to maturity because we don't make a sacrifice. We don't stick with it and start the process of just pushing things away and rejecting them and embracing and replacing those pleasures and those distractions with the things of God. See, when we become a Christian, a baby has to drink milk. And then over a period of time, it has to start having strained food because milk isn't sufficient. And then after a little bit, it needs to have something a little bit more solid and then very solid to be able to live life. That is the progress of growing, of maturing. And as a baby Christian, if we don't say, okay, this is how I've spent all of my time, now I'm going to replace some of it with this. Think about it like this. You sleep 8 hours a day, some of us. I don't sleep 8 hours a day, but, you know, say 6-8 hours a day. You work 8.5-9 hours a day with your lunch period in there. You have church on, you know, Wednesday night, Sunday morning. That's a good thing. But what are you doing in those evening times? Say you have a day job and you sleep. And so it's early in the morning and it's throughout the evening, which is the prime part of your day. Is it doing what we always did, which is turn on the TV and just watch it and stay up later than we normally would and go to bed because, you know, oh, man, I got to finish that movie. You know, I remember doing stuff like that I would be watching something and I felt getting myself tired. But it's like, man, I got to finish this movie. It's good. And then the next movie was advertised what's coming on, you know, and sometimes they'll do a movie that's the sequel to a movie or something. And I would let myself get caught up in and watch another one and would be up till 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning watching a TV show when I was young and have to get up and do my early thing. What are we doing with that time? We only have so much time. We all get 24 hours a day. We sleep. Oh, that was a thing. We eat. You know, you have time where you're eating meals. And you have time where you're working or you're going to school, which is kind of a work. So that 24 hours is reduced down to a smaller amount. What are we doing with that time? If it's all still the cares of life, then that's going to happen to us. We have to begin to pursue the things of God. You're doing that, by the way. So this is just teaching the principles of the kingdom of God. Making the sacrifice, coming out here. This is kind of a cool weather. I don't call that cold. Some of you call it cold. It's cool weather. It's rainy. It was kind of raining when I first started going out to pick them up. And just gloomy and doomy. And it's a Wednesday night. And we just say, oh, I'm tired. And it's just a wet night. I'm just going to stay home. My throat hurts. I'm gonna just take a night off or whatever, and there's always the opportunity to do something different with our time. What are we gonna do? You know, is God a premium or not? And I was telling this to Chris recently. When you choose to give up something, if you don't replace it with something else, create a new habit, you're just going to go right back to it. In other words, I say, well, you know, I know I'm watching too much TV, or I'm playing too much, I'm on the video game for too much time, so I'm going to take an hour off the video game. But if you don't do something else and you just kind of sit in the chair, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to turn it off, and you're just anxiously waiting, you know, for the hour that you are going to play it or something, it won't last. It will still choke you out. It will come back and pull you back in. And so it's like, okay, I take this, I'm going to replace it with something else. And that's a secret. So anyway, there's verse 14. Verse 15 says, but the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. They hear this word in a good heart, pure heart. Oh, Lord, I really do believe your word's true. I want to please you. You know, when you read the Bible, when you prepare to hear a message, whether it's a sermon, whether it's a podcast or something like that, or a radio message, you know, when you're hearing the Word of God, if you'll prepare your heart and just say, Lord, just speak to me through your Word right now. I just open myself. I want to hear what it is that you have to say. And you'll do that. God will answer that. I remember when I was a brand new baby Christian, I got my first Bible, and I wrote this little short prayer about, you know, before I would read the Bible, and I would just read this little short thing of, I just want to hear, speak to me through your word and everything. And I don't even remember the wording of it. It was for a season, and I would do that. And I'll tell you, when I would read, and part of it was being a baby Christian and God's revealing himself, but part of it was that preparing my heart, praying like that, speak to me, you know, and I'll approach the word like that. Lord, just speak to me by your spirit. Let revelation knowledge flow into me. Let me see things that I have not seen before. Let me hear your voice. Let me hear your will. Let me know what pleases you and what displeases you as you show me yourself through your word. And when I read it, it just comes alive. It's never boring for me to read the Bible. It you know, there's so many people who say, I can't read the Bible, Pastor. I can't read it. I just start to read it and my mind goes numb and I fall asleep and everything else. And I'll just encourage you, keep at it. You know, if you fall asleep reading the Word, there's no better way to fall asleep. You know, if your mind goes numb, just let it just go numb, be meditating on the thing, you know, just let God speak to you in that, you know. Don't just say, okay, oh, well, I can't focus. Okay, I'm just going to turn on the O'Reilly Factor or something, you know. Just hear from God, get back to it and keep trying, and God can speak to you. He will speak to you through his word. It's a spiritual book, and if you'll get your spirit ready, he'll speak to you through that. But it's preparing your heart. It's an honest and a good heart. You know, that's the good soil. So it's an honest and good heart that when you hear the word, that you hold it fast. So it takes an effort. Okay, I'm going to take what I've heard. I'm going to hold it fast. How can I hold it fast? You got to meditate on it. Write it down. Read it again. You know, if I'm going to read 5-10 scriptures in a sermon, you're not going to memorize those 5 or 10 scriptures and then go home and read them again and meditate and have that message, that construct of that message in your heart, and be able to say, okay, I'm going to go to this one, and then I'm going to go to this one, I'm going to go to this one. You know, jot it down. You know, now we have wonderful tools. That's a great tool, but you can read it in your own Bible, still a good thing. I do not encourage people to not bring your physical Bible, because adding your eye gate and reading it can be real helpful. Now, that is the word as much as it is on paper. You know, some people get real religious. That, you know, it's amazing how we can raise up a new group of Pharisees out of every group that there has ever been. Because, you know, for me, I struggled for a long time to be able to finally get into technology and discovered how powerful it is. And realized, you know, as I was praying over it and everything, because I loved my physical Bible. I loved my Strong's Concordance and my dictionaries, opening them up and everything. But I cannot study one-tenth of what I can study when I do it electronically with the speed and with all the resources where I can just click the word and the Greek and the Hebrew pop up and click a city and not only, the, you know, it go to a map and see where it is geographically or click the that verse and have every other translation or multiple resources and commentaries and things all right there. I don't have access to them all. I don't have enough room on a table to open up, you know, because I will sometimes reference five different commentaries, Bible dictionaries, Greek and Hebrew things in some of what I'm preparing. And that's a very time-consuming process when you have a need to do it physically. I'd have to make sure I'm here. I can do it anywhere at any time. It's extraordinary. And yet there was something in me, it was just holding back. It's like, well, if it's not on paper and printed, well, you know, they didn't even have that. And was it the 1400s when the Gutenberg, 1400s, when the Gutenberg press was invented? I know King James was printed in 1611. You know, Gutenberg printed, you know, he created the press to print the Bible. I don't know if it was the King James Bible or if it was a previous Bible, but somewhere then. But I mean, you know, it was over 1,000 years, over 1,000 years after the words of the New Testament were written down in letters. You know, not everybody had access to it. That's what was amazing about it. But that was new. Up until then, people just heard it preached. Few people were able to hear it. It was hearing the word. And there's a strong emphasis on hearing because so much of it is the hearing of the word because they didn't, everybody just didn't have it. I mean, even the epistles, when they were written, they weren't read by the congregation. They were read to the congregation from the pastor. Each letter, each epistle was written to the pastor of Ephesus or Philippi or, you know, Colossus or wherever, and that pastor read that letter to the church. And then they circulated it to other churches, and those pastors read it. And so so there's a lot of hearing involved. But then we got the written Bible, and we could read it, and you can hear it inwardly, but you can also read it out loud to yourself and hear it, you know, preached or taught. There's power in that. But that became another tool, and it's so much of a blessing. But then it became this. The word was the word when it was spoken and they heard it, when it was written on the material, was written in the original form as a letter on a scroll or whatever. It was copied and everything. It's went from the original format on tablets to copied by scribes. We mentioned that Sunday, on scrolls, you know, those manuscripts, and then on more and more modern and longer lasting materials as time went by. Paper was invented and they started doing that, and then printing press was formed, and now we have technology. It's all the word. What makes it the word is those words, not the form that they're printed on, you know. And I don't know why I spent so much time on that. Maybe just to say this, whatever works best for you, use that. And so while I encourage you, you know, I don't discourage people from bringing that because we have that. Because when you have your physical Bible, you can underline things, you can circle things, you can write a note, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, you might color code it. You can do that in here. If you notice sometimes I'm making a note or color coding in my Bible. If I'm doing something when I'm preaching, I can't do that. But up there, you notice I grab my iPad sometimes, and sometimes I'm getting in the Word and doing something, putting a note in the message frequently, or I'm sometimes in the Word, when a scripture is referenced and I do something because the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and it will be forgotten. And so back to this thing, if I'm referencing multiple scriptures, you're not going to remember them all, so you might want to write them down. But we have another, and this is what opened the technology thing. Not only do we have this available as we're teaching it, which is a blessing, but we also take the messages that are being recorded, and we put them on the website, journeyozarks.com, and you go to the media page, and you can listen to that message over again. So you can just kind of receive it in this environment, go home and sit down at a table with a cup of coffee or cappuccino or an iced tea or whatever, you know, makes you just nice and comfortable. Get your notepad out and listen to that message again and take those notes. Or you might just listen to it, you know, different messages over and over again. I listen to different messages from different people over and over again very often. When one penetrates my heart and I'm receiving that, I'll go back and re-listen to it at a different time a lot of times. So sometimes I even listen to the Word in my sleep because my spirit doesn't sleep. And so I have an earbud in my, and I can tell you, you can receive the Word with an eagerness and hang on to it by being committed to it with patience. I think the King James says patience. The New American Standard, that's where I picked it out, says perseverance. Other translations say endurance. So you're hearing it with a good heart, holding fast to it, and then persevering with it, committed to it, you know, feeding on that, not letting it go. Yeah, so it's not in one ear, out the other. We tell that to our teenagers, but we'll do the same thing. You know, we'll remember every baseball statistic, every football statistic, every hockey statistic, every movie, you know, Hollywood trivia, TV trivia, movie trivia. We know every character in every TV series and all that. And then we'll say, oh, I just can't memorize the Bible. I can't do that. It's what are we holding fast to with perseverance. You did not memorize all the names of all the characters on any television show in one sitting. We don't. But we persevere. We keep watching that TV show. And we see Gunsmoke with James Arness. And we know James Arness, you know, Perry Mason. You know, and Raymond Burr and Barbara Blake. Who was Leave It to Beaver? And they would announce it as Leave It to Beaver with Hugh Beaumont, Barbara Billingsley, Tony Dow, and Jerry Mathers as the Beaver. We learned that because of perseverance. We watched it over and over. We heard that over and over. And is that not the cast of Leave It to Beaver? That was made, what, in the 1950s, early 60s? And I wasn't born until 1964, and yet I know the entire cast of Leave It to Beaver because I watched that over the years in syndication and heard that. That's holding fast to it and perseverance. I hung on to it. You know, I was committed to watching that, you know, and enjoying that. When it would be on, I would tune it in. That's holding fast. And with endurance, with patience, with perseverance, you know, sticking with it, you know, not fly by night here or there. There's certain TV shows that you might have seen here or there. You don't know the cast. You don't know a lot about the character on that show or whatever. It's what do you hold fast to and persevere, you know, can stick with. It's sticking with, you could say it like that. So what do I do with the Word of God? I have earbuds, and I cut one off, and I just use the one earbud. And and so at night, I load up all my podcasts, and every day that has the new ones for the day. And so I'll start the first one, and I'll start it in my left ear because I can lay down facing this way, so it's in my left ear. But I'll hit play in the first one, then I'll go to the next one and hit add next, hit the next one, add next, hit the next one, add next, hit the next one, add next, and I pick all of the different preachers and teachers of the Word of God, all the different sermons that were all fresh that day. Or if I'm lit, sometimes I might go to Brother Hagin's and just do a whole group of his and load them up, and I'll go to sleep with it in that ear. And I literally am a person who turns over, like most people, from right to left throughout the night, and I just have, my body is trained that when I roll over, I pull that ear out, switch over to my right side, stick it in my right side, and I'm still sleeping, listening to the Word of God. Roll back over, it's back in here. When I wake up, that earbud is in there. I've trained myself to do that. And so I pump the Word of God in even when I'm sleeping. Because what do I do with the 24 hours that I have? Sometimes I get busy doing so many things. And with the remodel, I've got the Bluetooth style earbuds, because I did it for a long time, that same wired one. And I'm like moving and it just like ripping out of my ear constantly, just twisting. You know, so then I got the Bluetooth style that I can just stick in, and it transmits it to the earbud and doesn't have a cord that's going to the phone to pull in. And so when I'm remodeling or just working, when I was out here setting things up, I don't remember if I had it on the whole time, because Jane and Lisa were setting up too, and I try to be nice and talk to them. But sometimes they'll tell you, even, you know, they're working and talking, I have an earbud in and I'm listening to the Word and can interact with them even while that's going on. I just pump it in as much as I can, because I want to hold fast to the Word and I want to persevere. I want to stick with the Word. I want to stick with that revelation. I want to stick with that truth. That is good ground, and that is what will bear fruit. The only way you bear fruit is with perseverance or endurance or sticking with it. It won't bear fruit if you give up on it. The Word of God, it contains promises. It's in seed form. And it goes into our heart, our spirit man, not our blood pump, but into our heart. You know, it says out of the belly will flow rivers of life. Our spirit, our heart, the center of our being is here. So I've had people say to me, why do you say in your heart and you're grabbing your belly? Because our spirit, our heart, our center of our being is kind of our belly depicted in the scripture. I don't care if you say in my heart. It doesn't matter if you're talking about your spirit. But because of where it references it, that'll do that. Some cultures do heart, some cultures do other organs and parts of their body. I remember Christian comedian Mark Lowry, you know, one of the Bill Gaither guys. He became one of the Bill Gaither guys. But he said, you know, some cultures it's the liver, and so you might hear somebody say, I love you with all my heart, but you go to another country and it's like, baby, you make my liver quiver. You know, and so it just depends on what the center of your being is, where your affection and your love comes from. So in my heart, I wanna get that seed planted so that then it can produce. It comes out of me. Now, when you plant a seed, that seed bursts open in the soil, and the sprout comes up in the soil. And then it penetrates through and then begins to grow into the stalk and then, like, you know, the ear and then the full corn, you know, as an example. And so when we're looking in seed form, when it's in here, if we have hung on to it with a good heart, we're meditating on that, we're holding fast to it, you know, and we're going to persevere. We're not going to let it go. We're not going to just go away with distractions, with temptation, you know, or, you know, just in one ear, out the other. That's kind of your three categories there. We're gonna stick with that Word, and so it's inside of us starting to grow. And, you know, and it's released. That's faith is coming. we have to let it come out. And we can speak that word. We can confess it. We can pray it with a confession of faith outwardly, with a prayer of faith to God initially, and let that come out of our spirit being into the world, breaking forth out of the spirit, out of our heart, the soil of our heart, and into the natural realm. And just like that breaks through the soil, it can break through into the natural realm when it comes out of our mouth. And then when it's released out here, God then can bring his part on it. And that's like in the figure, in the figurative language it's used, there's water, there's sun, you know, and everything that's done. Just picture God's doing his part shining on it, you know, and we are just still believing that's staying solid. It's still rooted in good ground, and God's doing his part, and then it starts to bear its fruit in the natural realm. And those promises start to manifest themselves. But you got to persevere. Some things that you're believing for, it was planted, you believed it, you prayed the prayer of faith, you continue to confess that. Y'all know how I use my back as an example. That's kind of an example of it, that over that period of 4 years, 4.5 years, I walked right into the manifestation of something that I had believed and prayed and held on to and would not let go. And with patience, with endurance, with perseverance, with sticking with it, I didn't give up. The manifestation came. But had I given up at any point with any of the ways that the devil will take that away, I'd be in a wheelchair. I'd be in crippling, torturous pain. And so it's that perseverance, that endurance. When you look up that Greek word, the Greek word is hypomone. And this is the interesting thing on that perseverance, or in the King James it'll say, I think it says steadfastness. In the King James, hypomone means cheerful or hopeful endurance. That's the definition. If you go to the Strong's and you look up that word, it's hypomone. It's cheerful, or in parentheses, hopeful, so either one interchangeable, endurance. So it's not just endurance like, you know, it's endurance, it's hope. Biblical hope. I expect this to happen. So when you hear me tell my testimony, Pastor Ray, how you doing? I'm doing great and getting better all the time. Well, how's your back? Always was the next question. I said, praise God, it's healed. That was hypomone. It was cheerful and hopeful endurance. And they'd say, you mean you don't hurt anymore? And I'd say, I did not say that. It hurts like the dickens. I didn't say stuff like in the natural at that point. I just said, I didn't say that. It hurts like the dickens, but according to the word of God, I'm healed. You know, I'm preaching the word of God, and my voice that was rattly and strained is already clearing itself up. The power of God's word and faith in God's word has an ability to be able to really have an impact in the natural. It can bear fruit. And you got to persevere. You got to stick with it. So it means cheerful or hopeful endurance, enduring or patience or continuance, patient waiting. So you believe it, you hold fast to it, and you patiently wait for the manifestation of it. When you plant seed, I remember when I got a box of Kellogg's cornflakes when I was a kid. Back then, I got Kellogg's and got Cheerios. And so it was, you know, Kellogg's and General Mills. That was my two cereals that I would get. And my cornflakes would have baseball cards in there sometimes. And sometimes, this one time, they put seeds in there, packets of seeds. And I got to the bottom, and I opened my packet of seeds, and I went out. I can still see it. In my backyard, I can see where I did it at the end of this, what had used to be a garden my mom had done. And so I just, on the edge of that kind of spot, I just dug holes and just dropped seeds in those holes, put some dirt back on them and watered them. And I would go out there every day and wonder, where is the flowers? They're supposed to be, I don't remember what they were. They were tall stems with like a, just a, lot of little tiny leaves in like a ball. I can't remember the name of it, but it was Zinnia? I think it was Zinnia, because I was going to say it started with a Z. And so I was waiting and waiting. And then finally, I just, you know, I watered them and every day, and then I did do it. And then I didn't even pay attention to the fact that when I went out there day after day and seeing nothing, you know, next thing you know it, I go out there and there's this little green spot sticking out, different sprouts sticking up, and I just watched those grow. And so it was a process of doing it. So I kept watering them, you know, and doing my thing. It was so tempting just to say, well, they're just, nothing's going to happen and go away. But one day there were sprouts, and it was like, it was just amazing to me. I still remember it. And I remember that process of growing and then the bloom. They were a bud and then they bloomed. You know, it was a whole thing of endurance. It taught me something. And then I get saved years later, and it's like, I get this. I totally understand what the Lord's talking about. And so it's hypomone, cheerful, hopeful endurance. You gotta stick with it with hope. Biblical hope means joyful expectation. Okay? The characteristic of a man who's not moved from his deliberate purpose of loyalty and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings will fall. You can't be moved by it. If you move by it, you'll fall. This is what Calvin Coolidge said. Nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. And isn't that true? Genius will not unreward, will not unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world's full of educated derelicts. How many people have graduated college and don't even have jobs? They're still living with their parents and they're not doing anything. It's fine. I've had my, you know, times where my kids have lived with me and stuff, you know, helping hand. But, you know, but we have a generation of a bunch of kids that just live in. And so what do? We don't say, hey, get a job, grow up, be mature, you know, get out and do your thing like we used to do. We say, let's change the insurance laws to keep them insured on our plan till they're 25 and now 35 and now, you know, I guess when they're 65, I don't know. Anyway, education will not, the world's full of educated derelicts, is still Calvin Coolidge. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, press on, has solved and always will solve the problems of the human race. We were watching a Hallmark movie, and it had the character, the actor, and I don't know his name, that played in the movie Rudy. And so watching him, you know, just reminded me of Rudy. And his character, you know, in this show, you know, he had to stick with it. He was the mayor in this town, and he gave them hope, and then it fell through as a railroad coming through. Everybody turned on him. And he had to just stick with, when he was encouraged with the plan to have Christmas. Hallmark is already, everything's Christmas. We've been watching so many Christmas things, and even the Mystery Channel, it's all Christmas stuff. And so, you know, I thought about singing Silent Night tonight. So you know, so hey, it's not even Halloween, that's okay. Christmas, I love it. But anyway, he had to stick with and endure all of that, and have, you know, that what was important was that the town and the people was what was going to make the town successful, not the railroad. They said the children is what will make the town successful. And they want to do this play. They want to have these decorations. And so he persevered, stuck with it, and had the first Christmas celebration for that town. And it reminded me, you know, it's like, boy, that just reminds me of when he was Rudy. Because he's so short. He's physically short guy in real life. And so he fit the character Rudy next to all these ball players. And he was a walk-on at Notre Dame. And he made the team because of his good attitude. He persevered. He wasn't as talented as the others. He wasn't as strong as the others. He wasn't as big as the others. That's why he didn't get a scholarship. But he went to those tryouts as a walk-on and just kept going. And he would get hit and keep getting up. He would get hit and keep getting up. He would stay, go early, go late. He would help those big guys by being the tackle for them and working them out and encouraging them. And that is what made that coach put him on the team. And all through 4 years, never played. And then they let him go on the last game of the last season and play a play, and he made a touchdown. And he's the only person, as of when that movie was made, who had ever been carried on the backs of the other players off the football field in Notre Dame history. And he was, it was all about perseverance. It wasn't the brains, the brawn, the talent. It was the perseverance. So you get what Calvin Coolidge is saying there. You know, those things are a blessing, or some combination of those things are a blessing, and develop those if you can. But it's that perseverance, it's sticking to it. That'll make you do it. I have seen people that I've hired that were physically bigger and stronger that would come in and make it a week on a certain job I would hire them for, and they quit. Some of them make it 2 days. One guy made it 1 hour and says, I'm out of here. I hired my wife, who's smaller than every high school graduate that I had hired and put in there, or young adult that I put in there. Men, strong, physically got it. Because it was and I ran that machine. I ran the shop, but I would run any machine and do whatever needed to be done. And I would sit and run that machine. When I was training, I wanted to know all the processes. So I ran it for a few days, and it's back-breaking, physical, it'll callous you up because the grate, and you know you're polishing, and she stuck with it and ran that, and just until I hired, I went to AFCM, and then we hired her on into AFCM after me, but it was perseverance. It wasn't about size or anything else. It was like, this is the job I've been hired to do. I'm going to do it. And stuck with it. Sometimes things are hard. Sometimes things are challenging. Sometimes there's things that are distracting that make you want to quit. But you know what? I'm going to stick with it. And when you do, reward comes. Mm-hmm. Blessing and promotion can come. How many times do people just move from job to job to job because they're so distracted? And they're not getting into a career path, where they can start to move up. Sometimes it's important. There's no move. You pray. You seek God. He may show you and open something up somewhere else where you then can move up. But I've watched him do that in my own life and in the lives, because people tell me this is what's happened to me. And it's when they stick with it that God can bless them. And open up new opportunity when it doesn't look like there's any hope. And I've been in that place where it just doesn't look like there's any way. But you've heard me recently in a message talk about how I was in a union and yet got promoted to the most advanced machines in the world. And it was a union shop. It just doesn't work that way. But it did for me. God can do whatever he wants to do if you're persistent. Let me just read a couple scripture and we want to close up. Luke 22:28-30, and this is the Amplified. I have the classic, and the Amplified you have in there is the new Amplified, so it may be a little different. But this was when the Amplified was what they now call the Amplified Classic. And you are those who have remained throughout and persevered with me in my trials. And as my Father appointed a kingdom and conferred it on me, so do I confer it on you, the privilege and the decree, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on my thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus rewarded his disciples because they remained with him throughout and they persevered with him. In the good times, the bad, they persevered. And so he said, I will cause you to eat and drink at my table. That is how it works. And so, and that word persevered in there is diomino, And it means to stay constantly in being in relation to something or someone, to remain, to stay constantly. You know, you got to stick with it. And in the Message, it says it like this in verse 28, "And you stuck with me through thick and thin." So you are those who remain true to me. You are those who stuck with me. You stuck with me through thin and thin. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 and 12, in the New Living, it says this, "But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all of these evil things," all of those sinful temptations, all of those distractions in the world, and just the devil lying to you, all of that. Run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. You get that? Sticking with it, that perseverance, holding tightly. It's active. We have to do something different. Run from that. Leave that stuff behind. And latch on to these things. That's when you'll experience the hundredfold return, the blessing. Remember in that scripture, it says some in Matthew, we read it out of Luke, but in Matthew, it says the good soil, and it produced some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And so the more committed you are, the more bountiful that crop can be. It could be the maximum return. I don't want a 30% return. You know, it's not saying percentages, but you get what I'm saying. I don't want a partial return. I want the maximum return, the maximum blessing that what God has. And this is the way to do it, perseverance. Got to stop there. I think we might talk about how to develop that or something, maybe do a two-parter with this, and then we'll get into the next thing after that. Hopefully you receive something out of that tonight. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, we've learned it tonight. We could say we've been reminded of it, that your word is seed. And so we thank you that it has went into the good ground of our heart, that we're holding fast to it, and we're going to persevere with it, God. We're not going to let it go in one ear out the other. We're not going to let temptation come and take this word from us. We're not going to let the distractions that this world has keep us from meditating on it and letting it produce fruit. No, Lord, we are determined that it's good ground. We're going to persevere. We're going to hang on to it. We're going to stick with it. And we just thank you that it's going to produce a hundredfold return. And that, Lord, will be in just getting more word. Really, that's the great fruit of this message, is a hunger and desire for more of your word. And Lord, with every one of the messages that deal with all of the different things in the kingdom of God, we will see harvest come in those areas of our life, whatever it is, whether it's healing or provision or peace or blessings, just whatever it is, that we will receive the answer to those promises that we have need of. And we thank you for this, Lord. We thank you, Lord, as we expect to see harvest begin to manifest in our life. And we're going to stick with every bit of the seed sown in our life. Never give up on it. And we give you praise for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.